Hey beautiful people, and welcome to a brand new episode of A Slice of Life with me, Jack Walton. Be sure to subscribe on both iTunes and Spotify, and follow me on social media, I am Jack Walton, to keep updated with new monthly episodes. Hi everyone, welcome back to a new episode. I hope you're having a really nice month. Thank you so much for joining me. So the last time was the first episode of the second season. I spoke to Billy Paul Hardin. Billy's absolutely fantastic. Spoke about his mental health journey. It was really inspirational, actually. So Billy, thank you so much for sharing. This month is a little bit different. So I'm going to introduce the guest. So this person is a graphic designer. And funnily enough, they actually designed the Motivator Boy image that I use for my YouTube channel and for my social media. So yeah, let me introduce Zach Billingham. Welcome, Zach.
Hello.
How you
Hello,
doing?
Everyone. I'm good, thank you.
Is this your first podcast experience?
Proper podcast, yeah. I haven't been in like a studio sort of setting.
Amazing.
Like this.
So this is something a bit different, yeah?
Very different.
So this is a first, by the way. This is the first time I've had anybody on the podcast who is literally from the very same town I'm from. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Let's tell people about that. Isn't this weird? Because normally I have people from all different areas of the country. I think I might have had people on the podcast that are from Birmingham, but this goes a stretch further. Like, me and Zach are literally from the same town and we didn't really realise until a little bit later on. So, yeah.
This podcast is going to sound very common to a lot of people.
We're bigging up the black country, everyone. So if you don't know what that term is, please look it up on Google. You got to. So me and Zach met. So interestingly, kind of similar to today, we both took part in a campaign for our university, didn't we?
Yeah.
So it's called IMBCU. So Zach goes to Birmingham City Uni, where I've just graduated from. And Zach actually spoke about, which we're going to get into later, a mental health kind of campaign he took part in.
Yeah.
So guys, you know, me being me, I love to connect with anybody who talks about mental health. So I messaged him. I said, you know, what you're doing is really cool. I like the fact you're talking about mental health. I love that. And interestingly, then I needed a design doing, didn't I?
Yeah.
So I needed a graphic making for my Motivator Boy page, which, guys, if you're not following, please do. That is an extension, so I've got my normal page, but I am Jack Walton's more like the personal stuff. Motivator Boy is very centred on motivation and mental health and positivity. Anyway, I really wanted, like, a graphic created of me, so like a cartoon, basically, didn't I?
Yeah, it was a big ask at first, because, to be honest, you're the first person I've ever done proper digital art like that for.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I have got an artistic past. So I know where shading goes, I know where toning goes, but digital art like that, you were the first person I ever did that for.
And a lot goes into it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I could tell. When you sent me all of them together, like before and after, you could see the very first sketches, just an outline, and then more and more and more. It's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, I showed you all the stages, didn't I?
Yeah,
from like outline to shading, colour.
So guys, if you're like, who created that really cool artwork? Who created the YouTube banner? It's Zach Billingham who's sitting right here. Yeah, Zach is open to graphic design commissions as always, so please check that out. So this month, I want to speak about what it's like to be a man in 2020. What do you think about that subject to begin with?
That subject? I think the concept of being a man, it's changed a lot if you think about what being a man meant. This is far-fetching, but let's say 1,000 years ago.
1,000 years ago, yeah.
1,000 years ago, being a man meant you've got to be big muscles.
Provider, right?
Like, provider. Let's talk about ancient Greek. Like, you're expected to go into a Colosseum, fight a lion, that kind of stuff.
Literally, that's like the ancient stuff.
Yeah, but nowadays, being a man, it's not about that at all.
It's not, is
it? It's not. It's not about being the biggest in the room. It's not about fighting a lion in a Colosseum. It's about being the best you.
Oh, you've just said being the best you. I love that. Yeah. That's the name of my book.
Yeah.
I love that. So why don't you very briefly, I always ask my guests this, tell us about, just a little bit of background about who's Zach Billingham, who are you? Like, tell us about your journey. Like, we want to, the people that don't know you, you're a graphic designer, you're a student.
Yeah.
Who are you, Zach?
Well, you know my name.
Do you know your name?
Yeah. But like Jack mentioned earlier, we're both on the IMBCU campaign. And my story in particular touched upon mental health. And this is because I took part in a campaign called Lift the Lid, which I set up with a couple of friends of mine.
Amazing.
And the concept of it is to encourage more men to be open about their mental health. Because there is a stigma for men.
Yeah.
They feel like a man, sometimes, not every man, but some men feel like they shouldn't cry, for example. But why not? You should be able to cry. If you're down, you should be able to show it, not hide it. and hiding it just makes it worse.
And there's
for you.
A pressure there, isn't there?
Yeah, there is a pressure.
Interestingly, I don't know if you remember, I remember a campaign by Chris Hughes from Love Island, and it was called Don't Bottle It Up.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. So it was in Top Man, where
were thinking of names for this campaign, like we thought Don't Bottle It Up first.
It was an amazing campaign, wasn't it?
We realised Chris Hughes already used it. We were like, damn.
Yeah. So for people that don't remember it, he actually released this whole promo thing with Top Man, and they said he was going to be releasing a bottle of water made of his tears.
Yeah.
Because, for those of you who watched Love Island, he apparently cried a lot on the show, which...
Did you not see it?
I didn't watch that one, no.
You didn't watch that season?
No, I didn't. Got mixed opinions on Love Island. But in relation to the campaign, like society in general, sometimes the press absolutely bashed and hounded him for it. Lots of, like, really derogatory headlines about him crying all the time. So, okay, he thought, I'm going to channel this negative stuff in the press into something kind of positive. And when he released all this info, I remember thinking, wait a minute, this surely can't be right. Anyway, it was a PR stunt, because I was doing a PR degree at the time as well. And then World Mental Health Day came, and he released this thing where it's like, no, this is actually a campaign called Don't Bottle It Up, all about, you know, showing your emotions and stuff. And he's the ambassador for Calm, which is the campaign against living miserably, which is a mental health men's
and suicide one as well. And everything as well. Yeah. I was thinking of getting one.
So it's really amazing. And kind of interestingly, after that campaign, a year later, I actually did my whole PR like project on it. So I had to do like a whole like presentation at a PR conference all about the Chris Hughes campaign and how amazing it was in terms of traction and social media. And I got a really good grade on it as well.
Yeah, you appeared in the same magazine as well as him, didn't you, last year?
Yeah,
Which magazine was that?
So that was Happyful.
Yeah.
Oh, Happyful. Shout out to Happyful. Happyful, guys, is the most amazing mental health magazine. It's really kind of interesting because there's loads and loads of varied stories in there. And our stories were like basically on the homepage of the magazine, I was next to him. I thought that was really cool. So I've got the copy at home. So that there's three people on the front, on the first page of the front cover. There's me, Chris Hughes, and there's somebody else. And I was like, whoa, you put me in the middle and there's Chris Hughes on the side. It's like, yeah, that's a bit weird.
I made it.
It's weird, isn't it? But yeah, so yeah, that, absolutely fantastic. So in terms of like men and what it means to be a man in 2020, a great question would be for you. Let's go back to when we were like children. What is your first memory of being like, okay, this is what I believe a man to be, or this is what I believe an average or even perfect man's? Because when you are a child, you do have idolised images and versions of people, of things, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I want to live in a mansion, a mould, and this is what a man's like, this is what a woman's like. What were you like, okay, this is what a man's like? Because I'm sure, like me, your opinion of what a man was like has changed massively.
Yeah. That's a really good question, actually. Growing up, till about I was 6 years old, I didn't really have a father figure in my life.
Okay.
It was pretty much just me and my mum living in a house together, and because of that you feel a loyalty to your mother then, and you feel like you should be the one protecting her, I guess you could say
that makes sense.
And that's a good way of being a man in itself, protecting others, not thinking too much about yourself and showing that you care about other people.
So do you think in relation to that, because you didn't have a dad until then, before that time, do you think your opinion was something like, because there wasn't a dad there, maybe, and this is just a suggestion, was your kind of opinion negative on men just because you hadn't had a dad in the house? Was it like, oh, men are like this, men are like that? Like, did that kind of, what I'm trying to say is, did that kind of taint your image of what men are like by that happening, is what I'm trying to kind of say, I guess.
Didn't really taint it, but I found like I got along more with girls, but maybe that's because I grew up with my mum.
But I can relate to that as well. So I've that for me used to be a huge thing where I'd always click and get on with girls a lot more. That could even be a sexuality thing. Well, that's probably a bit off topic, but anyway, I had a dad until I was six. So this is opposite now. So he lived with us until we were six, then he left. So I think for me, my image of men in that time wasn't a very positive one, because when somebody walks out and leaves, it's like, okay, so they've left and they're leaving like you behind. So, to be honest, I think that did taint my view a little bit.
I can relate with that as well.
Do you know what I mean?
I kind of grew up without that dad there till I reached that age where I did get my stepdad, but I just call him my dad now.
Cause he
grew up and supported me, so I call him my dad. But that time frame till I was like five or six and I didn't have a dad, it did make me think like, oh, why is he not here? Like, yeah. Why isn't he being a man? Why isn't he supporting me, supporting my mum?
I think as well, in terms of what I thought then in general about what being a man was like or what a man should be like, I always thought that, I know this is going to sound very stereotypical, but I did think, okay, a man's got to be very like masculine and very like built well, and they've got to be into sports and like fitness and
muscles.
You know, just all like the stereotypical stuff, like back then as well, like this was before mental health campaigns, this was before people expressed themselves a great deal. So to me, growing up, and I'm talking about when I was a teenager, I was just thinking, okay, being a man really is all about working hard, providing, not showing how you feel, not showing your emotions, keeping a lot of stuff to yourself, and just kind of being unemotional. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, my mum and other female family members, like, very, like, you know, they'd cry in front of you and they'd, like, do things that were emotional, but I didn't see any men in my family doing that, even, like uncles and stuff. I didn't see men doing that. So for me, growing up, I just thought, oh, okay, men are kind of, they just have to hold it together for everybody else. Yeah, but that's what I thought.
I think a lot of young lads in this generation now, they are finding it more comfortable to open up about their emotions.
Yeah.
But you notice with the older generation, it's not really there yet for them, I don't think.
Do you know, I don't think it is, but I think, again, that all goes back to
how they were raised. Or upbringing for a child back in there, though, is probably different to our upbringing as a child now.
Totally different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I think for, like, if my grandparents and stuff, their view is probably a lot different, because for them, they basically just got on with it, and they... Because for them, they didn't have any choice. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, they just had to do it. So for us now, sitting here in 2020, we're in a very privileged position, because we don't have... Like, we don't have those worries, do we?
Didn't have to start working when we were 13 years old or anything either, because I know
that's literally what it is.
No, our grandparents probably did.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So in terms of like when you were a bit older, like when you became like a teenager, what were your thoughts then around, okay, this is what I need to be like now? Like, do you know, when you were growing up, you're like, okay, so now I'm like a man or becoming a man, what do I need to do? Is there going to be pressure be put on me? Do I have to do things differently? Like, were you having any kind of thoughts like that? Or what was your kind of view when you were, like, a bit older, when you had more awareness, I guess?
When, let's say, secondary school.
Perfect.
Let's start from there. Yeah. When puberty starts and everything.
Yeah, and you become aware of everything.
Yeah.
Then.
I wasn't very confident in school, actually.
Were you not?
I was more anxious than anything, to be honest. I didn't really speak up a lot in class. I didn't really put my hand up. Didn't really speak to whoever I was sat by, apart from, obviously, if they were my friend or...
It's interesting because I see you now and I consider you quite a confident person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I see you now and I'm like, yeah, your Zach is like a confident person.
But I think that comes with growing up.
Yeah.
And
gosh, don't
the
I
stuff,
never...
all the stuff you go through in life and you learn from, because you do grow from them and it makes you the person you are.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, did you ever feel, like when you were a teenager, did you ever feel like pressure in that way of just in general from being, I don't know, not necessarily just a male, but in general in terms of, okay, this is what society expects of me now, this is what I need to do? Or were you like, actually, I'm going to think for myself and do what I want to do? Because there is people that are like that, and my God, I really respect people that have that kind of mentality, because when I was a teenager, when I was growing up, I did not have that. I was like the total opposite. I've got it now, but again, these things come with time. Like, for you, were you like that, or were you like, actually, I feel like I need to do all these things just because this is what society portrays us to be like?
I was very different in school. It didn't come to about college till I started to like grow more as a person.
Okay.
And become more of a man, let's say. Through all school, I was quiet. I just kept myself to myself, got on with my GCSEs, got them all done. I made friendships, still got friendships now from school.
How about stuff you did in, like, your free time? Like, again, I always used to feel, when I was growing up in school, oh, you got to really love sport, you got to love PE, you got to love doing all this stuff, you've got to be really into, like, cars, and, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
All this stereotype, like, Xbox, whatever. For me, that's what all the boys around me were doing. So,
I can relate to that so much, because it'd be like...
Yeah.
There'll be a group of lads talking.
See,
let's say
I mean.
You're with that group of lads and they'll be talking about football, let's say.
Yeah.
And they'll turn to you, what team do you support, mate? I don't support any team. I don't follow football. And then they'll question, like, you don't support a team? What do you mean you don't support a team?
So again, straight away there, that's another stereotypical being a man, being a boy.
Yeah.
Boys will be boys. All those signs that I really can't stand, actually. So in relation to that, which is a perfect example, how did you navigate that stuff? Because that's only a small example, isn't it? Because I know for sure, being in school, that's a small example of a stereotypical boy thing. There's lots more, isn't there?
Yeah, that's another one comes with is going to the gym.
See what I mean?
Yeah, being masculine in that sense, lifting
weights.
Did you
feel a pressure to have to do that?
I kind of got myself to do it for my own well-being.
So that's good though, because it was your own thing, right?
Yeah, because like I said to you, I was quiet in school. Like, I was this skinny, shy boy who wouldn't really talk. And then I started watching YouTube videos of people in the gym and all that. And I thought,
nice.
I need to get myself up there. And so it literally just started with press-ups in my bedroom.
Nice.
And then it moved on to a pair of dumbbells from Argos. And
I
then,
love that.
And then,
good old Argos catalogue.
Yeah, and then I started staying back once a week at the little gymnasium we actually had in our school.
Oh, right.
And I'd stay back there for an hour and use their equipment. And then when I was old enough, 16 years old, I actually joined the gym.
You got a gym membership.
Yeah, and then I did really well with it. And it really boosted my confidence. And I've been off it a bit now, I'll be honest. I haven't really been gym for a while.
Neither have I, to be fair.
Yeah.
But to be honest, this time of year, I tend to slip out of it.
I'm at a point in my life where I'm that busy, like I'm struggling to find the time for it.
Got you. So that's really interesting. So this is a bit off tangent now, but I want to ask. So in terms of like well-being and fitness and going to the gym during that time, you touched on about your well-being. Would you say you decided to start doing this to feel good kind of mentally and physically, or was it just I want to just physically exercise? Like,
I started doing it to feel better about myself. And I've got to be honest with you, I was a young lad. I wanted to get girls' attention as well.
Yeah, of course you did.
And
that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And so
you're a human, right? You're a human.
Yeah, and it kind of worked. Like, it got to like college in like my first like peak of like working out and going to the gym. I was in decent shape, and I got my first girlfriend. That didn't go to plan.
Right, okay.
It didn't last that long.
let's just
say that.
Put it that way, yeah.
And then, but it didn't affect me. Like, it wasn't that long of a relationship for it to, like, affect me. But then I had my second girlfriend who I used to go to the gym with.
Nice.
And that one was more of an emotionally painful relationship, though, like, the way it ended.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's what kind of knocked my confidence back to the way I was at school. How I told you, like,
okay,
I wasn't that confident in school, and then suddenly...
So that's interesting. So in relation to that, would you say that because of this relationship ending, it had more of a knock-on effect with you and your, like...
Yeah, definitely.
...confidence and mental health and stuff? Like, why...
Definitely.
Obviously, you don't need to, but how did you navigate that stuff? Because I think for anybody listening, that could be quite useful, because, again, you know, it's natural, isn't it? It's life, guys, to be in relationships, be out of things. And, you know, I think more than anything in life, it's actually not the things and the experiences that can hurt you the most. It's people. It's us. Like, guys, it's us. It's the human.
People need to be more kind.
So how would you say that scenario, this experience in your life, how did that kind of affect you, and how did you navigate that? Because, of course, at a young-ish age, that's still not easy because, you know, being a teenager as well, especially, comes with its own stuff.
I was about 18 when the whole breakup was happening.
So that's still quite young, though, really.
Yeah, it is young, but obviously at the time, I'm not really thinking, like, oh, in 2 years' time, I'm going to be fine, like, how I am now. But at the time, like, it affected me bad. Like, you get emotionally involved with someone, and then suddenly they cut you off, and it's like...
And then, of course, that's going to affect anybody, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And all you can do is blame yourself, and you can't help but to blame yourself until you actually get that closure. But that's exactly what I did. I started blaming myself, which I shouldn't have done.
You did blame yourself. That is so normal. I think as well, whenever we have fallings out with people or breakups with people or fights or whatever, we always blame ourselves a lot of the time.
Yeah,
like, okay, so what did I do? What did I say? Let me go back and analyse everything to such a fine detail just to see what I might have said or might not have said.
Yeah.
It's quite common, isn't it, to fall into that habit of being like, okay, what did I do?
Exactly. And, like, that happened. It was, like, I was struggling for a good year, to be honest with you. And but I kept quite quiet. I only really opened up about, like, my mental health to my mates, like, behind closed doors and that.
Did you get support off your friends?
Yeah,
amazing.
Definitely. Yeah, my friends are amazing. I love my friends.
That's really good. Because, again, a group of boys, again, being a man in 2020, going to ask you this question. So back whenever this was, when you were 18, right?
Yeah.
I'm really interested to know, did you and your friends speak together about mental health? Did you speak about well-being and stuff that men, again, taboo, typically didn't used to speak about. And that was, again, why lots of these campaigns are happening, because men weren't talking about that stuff. Although a lot of them probably wanted to.
Yeah.
They were thinking, I'm not going to say it in case they judge me. I'm not going to say it in case they think, what's he on about? So what was your situation in your friendship group like when you were growing up in terms of speaking openly?
Yeah, put it this way. Let's say I've had a really bad day. Like, really bad. Let's say I just feel like crying. It's just been that bad. I know I can text my friends and they're going to be there for me no matter what. And they're going to exactly understand what I'm going through and what I should do to help myself. But, like, when we compare into generations and that...
Yeah, yeah.
If that was, say, my dad at...
See what I mean?
And he was my age. My stepdad, let's not get confused with what I was on about earlier, but my dad. And let's say he was my age, back in my age. I can imagine that would be quite a hard thing to bring up with your mates. And I can imagine, like, that kind of group of lads, it'll be like, oh, come on, move on, get over it.
See what I mean? There's no emotion in that.
Yeah.
There's no emotion, there's no, like... It's just, chin up, get on with it. Again, very British, stiff upper lip, isn't it? It's just, it's just like, get on with it and just carry on. Keep calm and carry on.
I'm very lucky to have the friends I've got, and you probably got the same as well.
I totally agree,
and
it's really nice.
Because I know some people probably don't have friends like
even
that.
Even now. Again, because we're saying about being a man in 2020, but even now, this is why, and it's a huge shocking figure, that suicide is the biggest killer of men under the age of 45, I believe. I'm pretty sure. I remember looking it up.
I think the overall, like, 3/4 of it is men.
It's so shocking.
And the other quarter
it's
is
men,
women.
Guys, and it's a really big figure. And this is why I will continue to speak about this for as long as I can, because, yes, year after year, in the last few years especially, campaigns are happening all the time, and they're putting a big focus on men, and there's been some amazing things, but there's still a way to go, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, what's your view on men's mental health and how it's talked about? Like, what do you think? Because, again...
It's definitely got better.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a lot better.
It has, hasn't it?
But that stigma is still there, and I don't think it's truly ever going to be completely erased.
No,
it's
never.
It's always going to be there.
Yeah.
All we can do is do our best to make men feel like... I mean, women as well. Women probably find it
Everyone,
hard to talk
yeah.
about their emotions.
I reckon a lot of women do, actually.
It's just if someone doesn't seem right to you or they look low, just ask, are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. All it takes is one message.
And you know what I'd say? If they say, and I always remember this, if they say no or they kind of go off topic, ask again. Ask twice.
Yeah.
It's like, I've seen this campaign, I'm sure some of you might have done, and it's like a text message, like, are you okay? But no, ask again. It's like, ask twice, because on the second time, people are more likely to maybe say, actually, do you know what? I'm not really feeling that okay. I'm feeling a bit, you know, low, or do you know what I mean?
You know your friends better than anyone else. If something doesn't seem right,
I always know. Isn't it true?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you get that feeling?
If you ask them, are they okay? And they say they're fine, you know they're not actually fine. You know that they're keeping something like under wraps, and it's your job to make sure they're okay.
That's interesting, because I don't know if guys know you feel this, sometimes I always feel like I know how my friends are feeling. Does that make sense? Like, sometimes I'll get this instinct, and I'll be like, I don't think they're okay. Message them or phone them, they're not okay. I'm like, I knew it. I had this. This might come have been spiritual, I don't know. But
you actually have a superpower.
No, I literally...
You are the motivator boy. You're a superhero.
It's literally it's like the spiritual thing within me where I'm like, I sense it, and 9 times out of 10 it's correct. And I'm like, I knew it was, because you did not have to say anything physically to me.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything physically to me, I'll still have a feeling.
You can tell it from people's actions and body language.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Like...
We have to be more aware of this stuff, though, I think.
An example, mate. Let's say you've got a friend who's constantly posting on social media. Let's say they just stop posting. Obviously, something's
wrong. It's a telltale sign, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's so true. There's so many signs to be aware of, I think, as well. Going slightly, veered slightly off topic, but I love this because all of this stuff is so relevant, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so relevant. So, for me, I want to speak about when my perception shifted, which is really nice because, again, growing up, I thought, okay, very masculine, you have to be like X, Y, and Z. Again, I suppose... having a single parent tainted that view slightly, just because my perception of men wasn't very good, just because all this stuff had happened. So for me, I was always very protective of myself when even like speaking to other boys.
So you always had a guard up,
a barrier, a wall, and whatever you want to call it, just because for me, I was like, oh, I don't want to really kind of go there just because of what happened with my dad and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which was kind of hard at times and definitely kind of impacted, like, relationships and stuff. Like, being a gay man especially, that has been a huge thing, because that's like put a bit of a wall up, but you know, stuff to work on, but
would you say if you were talking to a boy it would always be on the back of your mind, like,
yeah,
that?
I just think it was more so because I had this feeling at the time growing up, and only until not very long ago, of like, okay, this is like abandonment, like I've been abandoned by this person, they've walked out x, y, and z, not really seen them much. I don't want to go there again with somebody else, because how about if it happens again? So if it happens again, I'll do anything in my power to make that not happen. So if that means not speaking to people, I'll do it. So that was a huge, like, and
you
that,
locked yourself off from people.
Yeah, and that's why I think this episode this month is really interesting, because everything is intertwined of being a man and like my sexuality and then like my dad leaving and then the view I had. It all kind of added up into this huge wall that was very toxic and negative, because I already had this perception that, for example, if you are a straight, heterosexual, white male, this is like the epitome, and this is a really good one. This is what I thought later on as a teenager. This is the epitome of what a man should be like. This is the epitome. If you're anything else, that's not a real man. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, okay, so being a gay male, that's just, that's not being a real, that's not a real man. Like, that's why I'd always like get on with girls more. And I think that's why, for me, that was just a very toxic and negative thing. And that impacted my mental health so much, because when you're already being, when you're having signals and meshes saying that, okay, being gay is wrong, but then you're a man anyway, it's like, okay, so that's also saying two things. It's saying that being gay is wrong, and it's also saying that you're not an actual man. So there's two negatives there.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it was
yeah.
literally like double whammy of like ammunition coming towards me. So like as a teenager, like, I don't know, like 13, 14, 15, 16, those years were just kind of very
still,
guarded.
Would you say during like your teenage years?
Just wasn't
like
myself.
Were you still like unsure about your sexuality as well and those kind of things?
Yeah. And I wasn't myself at all. Like I was very, very like everything that people know about me now and of me now, the exact opposite. Like the exact opposite, like nothing like
You've
I
had
see
a big glow up.
You could call it that. I mean, like ridiculous, because it's not even like, I see teenagers now in schools, like boys especially who are gay or whatever, and they're coming out and they're being themselves and they're expressing themselves. I'm like, oh wow. To me, seeing that is so lovely. Like I've seen a few shows about high schools in the past few years, and I've seen gay males and they're out and they're quite comfortable and they have friends and it's like, oh, this is so nice. And back then that just didn't happen at all. And it's
like,
interesting.
I remember being in like school playground and being gay would be almost like an offensive term.
Of course
like,
it was. Yeah.
Like you could say like
it was the worst to be called gay was the worst thing ever.
Yeah, like
it's like an insult. It's derogatory.
Say like, oh, I'm gonna stay in English to carry on with some work on lunch. That's gay.
See what
like,
I mean?
Is it? Is that gay?
See what I mean? So because we are, again, we're in that generation of anything that's different is wrong, is bad. And again, we're so lucky because we were still in a generation that was better than previous ones. But it's nice for me because I have seen a really nice progression since. And like I say, in terms of seeing people come out in schools, which again, God, like mental health, like everything in life, loads and loads of progress is needed. But it's still... it did the positive step. And yeah, like I said, I would have loved to have had that experience, because for me, and if you do anything just to kind of fit in, and that is the biggest mistake you can ever make, is to try to fit in, because it does not work. When you try to fit in, you're putting so much pressure on yourself. You think, yeah, I'm going to fit in, it's going to be fine. You won't do it.
No.
Trust me, take it from someone who's been there, done that, got the t-shirt and burnt it. You will not manage to, and this is for, you know, men, women, whatever, in terms of, I don't know, you might be like in a work situation, you might think, I need to fit in with these people in my work to be accepted. When you try and put like, I've always found when you try and put kind of an intense attachment to anything, it will just repel it.
Yeah.
Won't work.
You're better finding yourself first, and that's not going to happen overnight.
But the thing is though, finding yourself is a huge journey, and that is something that I always thought would just happen.
And some people's journeys are going to be longer than others, and they're going to be different than others.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to take different things for people to distinguish who they are, whether that's a breakup, whether that's a family member dying, whether that's them getting the job they've always wanted, either one of those.
And I think you need time and space to do that. And you actually really need, again, going back to what we just said, you really need supportive people and a positive environment, don't you?
Yeah.
I've always found that, like, having supportive people in your life is like the best thing ever, because you just, it's just a very nice inclination of, yeah, you've got this, you're on the right path. So let's just really celebrate the people that we've got who, you know, who do, who are there for you. It's a really nice thing. And again, I've gone on off a little bit of a tangent, but in terms of, to conclude my little bit, when I was a lot older, so we'll skip now to, I don't know, like 16, 17, 18. Then my perception shifted. I thought, okay, so being a man is technically nothing that I thought it was. And no. That is what I've realised actually later than that, really, 19, 20, 21 probably. Because after I'd, you know, come out, accepted myself, whatever, moved past that stuff, I then thought, actually, it's not about being masculine. It's not about being, you know, muscular. It's not about not showing your emotions. Actually, being a man is pretty similar to being a woman. You're just a different sex. And number two, by that point, I'd been exposed to so many different versions of what a man was like. That is why I came to that new conclusion. It was amazing. Like, that's why I said at the beginning earlier, our opinions have changed. When I was younger, this is what being a man was like. When I was a bit older, it got worse, because I was like, actually, it's even more intense pressure to not, you know, fall apart. It's more intense pressure to act masculine. It's more intense pressure to basically be something you're not. Then, so it changed three times, and it changed in the end to thinking, actually, being a man was none of the stuff I thought it was. Also, growing up in the generation we did, everything I saw on TV, I don't know about you, was adding to that stereotype. Like, when you think about TV, let's just say popular media, when you were growing up, did it add to that stereotype of, this is what being a man's like?
Well, yeah.
Like, did it add to...
Every single superhero movie is a broad, masculine male.
I didn't even think about that. Muscular. Okay, that's the perfect example.
I was
example.
Meant to say masculine. I kind of combined muscular and masculine together then. I made up a word, wow.
There we go, we've got a new word.
Yeah, masculine. But
that's a perfect example, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good example.
And people watch these movies, and kids watch these movies. Yeah. People in school watch these movies, and that's how they see a man. They see a man as a leader. Like, it's good to be a leader. It's good to inspire.
And I love inspiring them.
Yeah,
I love
it's
that
good
bit.
To inspire others. That's an amazing trait.
Yes, it is.
But is the image of being a leader, is that the wrong message? Because the image of being a leader is what you see on,
and again,
like, the movie posters and stuff
I go back to this point of when we were a teenager, but I feel like I did. Did you feel that pressure in terms of succeeding? Did you feel that pressure of, I need to do this, I need to be this person? Did you feel that pressure or did you not? Because I think for me it was a bit of both. Like, a lot of the time, sometimes I did, but then because I was suffering with mental health as a teenager, it left me feeling very exhausted, so I didn't really like have any mental energy left to feel the pressure anymore. So that pressure that sometimes people feel growing up, men especially, girls as well, everyone, also kind of dissipated for me, because I just had so much other baggage going on up here.
Yeah, yeah. And going back with like the image of being masculine and that, I love it when people come out in the media about mental health and it completely... like lifts the mask off that, like
the mask drops.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Someone I admired last year, Tyson Fury, the boxer.
Yeah.
He came out so much about mental health towards the
I
end of last
that,
year, didn't he?
I saw that.
And he talked about how like he
and
was,
I love that.
He'd be depressed. He'd have suicidal thoughts, and he'd be so open and vocal about all of this. But you wouldn't expect it from a heavyweight world
and
champion.
This is what
boxer,
I'm saying.
You?
And again, being a man, oh, we wouldn't expect this, because again, oh, a masculine, you know, it's a sportsman, we wouldn't expect this. But again, this is where the problem still lies, I think, because a lot of the times people act really, really surprised. And I've kind of got to this point now where I'm like, you know what, nothing like that shocks me now, because I see that it doesn't matter what you look like, what your body type is, what relationships you've got, money, whatever else. I get now that a lot of people still are suffering. Yeah. And there's been so many examples. Like, I don't know if you remember last year, somebody off of Love Island took his own life.
That was,
His name was Mike.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting, because I had this moment where I thought, wait a minute. To me, this is just my opinion, he looked perfect. He had like a nice relationship. He had a gorgeous car, house, all that, you know, all the basically bullshit that we think defines happiness.
Money doesn't buy happiness.
But
looks don't buy
that
happiness.
We have, don't we? When we see people on Instagram, and on TV, we say, oh, he's got the body, he's got the car, he's got the girlfriend, he's got the designer clothes, X, Y, and Z. We do have this within us where we're like, oh, he must be quite happy and stuff. Yeah. But actually, I had this moment last year, I thought, oh my God, Jack, this is real. Anybody really can be suffering. He was intensely suffering. His friends texted him like the night before. He didn't tell them. No. And he took his own life. And I just had that moment where I thought, wow.
And this again goes with that stigma of men being afraid to open up.
He was too scared to, yeah.
Because he was in the public eye of this alpha male. He was probably thinking, what are people going to think if I open up about these issues?
And that's the problem again, because he was hounded in the press, being called Muggy Mike. And I even hate just saying that term a second ago, but he was hounded. And that's why a lot of people came out after and said, please do not call him that. His name was not that. He has a name. Because again, oh, he's a man, he's got to fit into this image, he's got to fit into this box. And almost like in society, if you fit into this box, we're going to perceive that you're going to be more popular, you're going to be liked more by more people because you fit what a perfect image should be like.
Yeah.
When
and social media and shows like Love Island play a part
in that. It's still happening though.
Everyone it's on social happening. Media hides behind a mask, but people can't help but to compare themselves
and I still
to
see
people
it.
On like Instagram and that.
I still see it where it's almost like certain people still are favoured over others because they're a certain image, and especially with men as well, especially with girls. And if you're, you know, in a little bit different, you know, gay, bisexual, transgender, body shapes, anything, it's like that still, even now in 2020, would you believe, still is a thing, isn't it?
In your book, you made a good point as well on that with social media.
Oh, like, have you read that bit?
Yeah. I'm about halfway through now.
Amazing.
But, yeah, but you said, like, people don't realise, people are only showing what they want you to see. They're only showing the highs in their life, and of course they are. We only upload, like, the highs in our life.
And do you know what? That is why I actually do try to talk about the other stuff. Like, only, like, I had an experience...
To be real.
Yeah, to be real. Like, I shared something about... And, guys, you'd have probably seen it because this is now a month later. I shared about the podcast I did with Claudia Winkleman and Tanya Byron about an issue that I was dealing... Well, I've dealt with my whole life, basically, in terms of my dad. And I was very open on social media about it. And even just... typing it out on my phone felt weird because we're so used to just saying, look, I've done this, look, I've done that, look, this is happening. But although those people said, yeah, this is, congrats, this is a great thing, I'm like, wait a minute, I actually just want to say this is about something emotional, this is about an actual issue that I've been having because it's something that I know that other people might be able to relate to. So I think it is, it's really nice that actually sometimes we can now more in this day and age share the bad stuff as well.
Yeah.
Because, it, like you say, with social media, and again, I can say this much, we pick the highlights. Am I going to post a picture of myself later, just like catching a train? No. Am I going to post a picture in Sainsbury's in the shopping? No. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All that stuff that I do in a day is being left out.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. So when we were getting older and you got social media, I think this is a really good question. Did social media change the view you had of what being a man should be like? In terms of you were seeing people on Facebook and you had it, Instagram, whatever platform you used, did social media either add to it? Did it kind of give you comfort in terms of thinking, oh, actually, I don't have to be a certain way?
That goes back to what I earlier said, to how, like, I wasn't happy with the way I looked in school and I started going to the gym, and I did that by looking at people on social media, like bodybuilders, YouTubers. Yeah.
So, okay then. So would you say from looking at them originally... And looking back, was that a useful, positive experience?
It was, because it did help me.
Okay.
I felt a lot better.
So that's good then.
I felt a lot better being at the gym and looking better, feeling healthier and feeling more confident with myself.
Amazing. Like, in total, just total off topic, but in relation to the gym, like, I don't know about you, but when I go to the gym, I really feel like, it for my mindset, it's amazing. Like, when I go, it's always after, I feel so... energized and full of good endorphins. It really does work, doesn't it? I actually feel so much happier and just like, oh, like I leave and I'm like, yeah, I'm a bit tired, but I'm in my zone. I'm like, I feel energized. For you, especially as you were going as a teenager, did it help, like, with your mental health?
Definitely.
Amazing.
The way I did it, I'd go with my friends and we'd walk there 5 days a week and walk back. So we'd walk there, do our weight training, and then we'd walk back. We were all so skinny then. We're a lot different now, let's just say that. But
shout out to Zach's friends.
But doing that, you're socialising as well.
Yeah.
You're, instead of just socializing through text, you're socializing in person, which is a lot better than just doing it through a screen, because being sociable just helps as well with your mental health.
It helps massively, doesn't it?
Yeah, like talking to people, having conversations, like what we're doing now.
I'd say as well, I think when I first started going to gym when I was a lot younger as well, it must have been a few years ago now, it helped in some ways because I saw men that weren't just the typical. Like I saw masculine men that were like really muscular and stuff, but then I saw men that were different body shapes and sizes and like skinnier, and I thought, again, growing up, you think everyone has to be like weightlifting and really masculine, and again, if you don't want to do that or that's not for you, again, pressure's piled on. So for me, when I was like, in terms of social media, in terms of going to gyms, in terms of being exposed to different types of men, it was actually really beneficial because I thought, you don't have to be a tick box. You don't have to be a certain way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course you don't. There is no perfect. There isn't. Nothing else I can say to that. There is no perfect. Like, you are you and nothing can change that.
Wow. Guys, that is powerful. Being a man in 2020. Whoa. That's powerful, isn't it, Zach? I mean, yeah. It's so like liberating as well, because I think I've really got to put a positive spin on the social media side to go against what I just said. Do you know why?
To social media.
In terms of, for me, when I was kind of going through this journey of accepting myself, not just in terms of sexuality, in terms of just growing up, I'd have family members, I'd be in high school. Apart from that, and just on TV, I wouldn't really see any other image of a man, really, apart from what the British media would put out. And at that time, the British media would just put out, again, all the stereotypes. So going on social media and seeing people from different countries, especially like America and all this stuff, really allowed me to craft out for myself who I wanted to be. And I was like, actually, I don't. Took a long time, but just getting to that realisation, like, actually, I don't need to be a tick box. I don't have to do things to fit in. I don't have to say I enjoy football when I don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, just, it's all that stuff where, like, you look back now and think, I did all this stuff and I wasn't interested. I didn't really care. I wasn't into it, but I did it because that's what boys did, and you just do it to fit in. So going on social media and seeing people from different backgrounds and areas who are really confident in themselves helped me massively. And if it wasn't for social media, honestly, I think I'd have struggled a lot more, because although it was a struggling time, seeing these people on social media, it gives you hope, doesn't it? It's like, oh, wow, there's so many different kinds of people in this world. It's fantastic.
You're able to find communities of people who are looking for the same revelation as you are. Like, you're finding communities of people who want to talk about mental health and bring awareness to it, which is exactly what you're doing now, isn't it?
Which is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as you know, guys, that's why I adore social media, because I get to connect with people, share interests, you know what I mean? Yeah. If it wasn't for social media, we wouldn't be doing this right now. I've said this to so many people because I've met loads of friends through social media. We would not be doing this right now, would we?
No, I don't think we could even live in the world today without it.
I agree.
Yeah.
And that's why I always like to have this little kind of debate about it on the podcast, because yes, it's battered so much and I get it, because there is so many bad parts to it, but that is why I always say that I really try to put a positive message out there from using it, and I am really for the fact that it is positive just because of the work that's been done on there. Like everything in life, there's good, there's bad, but you've got to find the good.
The creators,
you've got to look for it.
The creators of like social media sites as well, they're doing a good job nowadays, like making sure anything to do with suicide or self-harm is not on their site.
I was about to say that,
Because it was in 2017, I think, young girl, she was only 14, her name was Molly Russell. She took her own life. And the reason she did it was because she saw someone else do it on Instagram. And she was influenced thinking that it's okay to do that. When obviously no one should ever feel, that is a good option for them to do. But the outcry of her death reached Instagram, and they set up a brand new algorithm to their site.
So I heard about that last year,
So anything to do with self-harm or suicide, it just gets terminated instantly. They have said they're not going to have technology to erase everything, there's still going to be
there's still going to be stuff.
There's still going to be bits existing.
But it's still improving, isn't it?
It's their responsibility to get it down to zero.
And I think in relation to social media as well, which is really good, there's so many pages and groups now dedicated for men who want an alternative way, which is fantastic. I see so many. I see just daily men's support groups, men's mental health, men's... I see, shout out to the Whole Man Academy. So the Whole Man Academy are from London, and basically they host regular events where men literally speak about mental health. It's fantastic. I'm actually potentially going to one in a few months. See, it's in London. There's loads of amazing different, like, there's journalists that attend, there's speakers, they have speakers there. And it's all about being in an environment where you can just talk about stuff.
Is that going to be similar to the Wellbeing Festival, which you did?
Yes. Similar. But I like the fact that, again, it literally is just targeted to men. Because then I also see another example, the Self Love Summit, the Self Love Club, that's for women. So I like the fact now that, although, yeah, there is still kind of stereotyping going on, we're seeing formed groups, communities and places where people really can chuck all the stereotypes out the window and just be real and just be themselves, which is so liberating and amazing. And another one, very briefly, that Billy from last month, that he actually started his own group called Warriors Stand United in London, in the Sutton area of London. And again, that is a regular, it's just a group where men literally just come, sit down, have a chat, talk about how they're feeling, what's going on. It's really simple, but saying that, it works. Although these things are simple, I think it's because, and I think something can be said for this, that it's a safe space where, again, everybody is anxious about telling people their worries and their concerns, but I would definitely say for men there's an added pressure of like, oh, I'm very nervous to say this because what are people going to think about me? Are people going to judge me? What implication will it have? Will they tell my family, if my wife or my girlfriend don't know? So I think
it depends on the environment they're in as well.
Like, massively.
We're in a student environment, and I think a student environment is a very opening and accepting environment.
Now it is, which is fantastic.
But let's say you work on site. Let's say you're a builder. Your colleagues are like 40 years old.
See what I mean?
Then it's a bit different. It's a bit different of an environment. You can't... I'm not saying
and
you
that's
can't.
What I always
it's
think
probably
of
all
as
not
well.
Like that, but like we were saying with the different generations, mental health is viewed in many different ways by different generations.
It is, because I always go back and think like that in terms of industries like construction and labour. I always think in the back of my head, I wonder what it's like to work in those areas if you are suffering or if you just don't fit in. Because again, although it is like modern times now, I still think in those kind of different areas, there could be more opportunities for people to do kind of different stuff like projects and things. Yeah. There's probably stuff going on, but I think in the future, something I'd love to look into in terms of going to somewhere like that and doing a talk. To be fair, I'd love the challenge of doing that. So guys, if you know anyone that wants me to go and give a talk to like construction, hit me up. Because actually, I'd love the challenge of that though, because I had to do a talk last year and it's really interesting. I only speak about it briefly, but I was told it was going to be like young people. Yeah. I was told. It was an LGBT talk. I was told it's from young people. Turned up and I was like, oh, okay. The audience were a little bit older than I imagined. So this is interesting. So it was men in their like 50s and 60s. So going back to past generations, so it was men in their 50s and 60s. It was gay men. I just find it really, it's a really interesting experience.
I bet they got some interesting stories about their like coming out stories and all that as well.
It was really interesting just because I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to have to really quickly think here to kind of adjust my talk. I do not want to patronise anybody. So I adjusted it and I did it. And they were literally kind of hanging off my every word, like they were really listening. And I got really good feedback and they really enjoyed it, which was really nice. But I just found that interesting because I remember looking at them and doing the talk thinking, they're going to have a totally different experience, let alone being a man then, but even more being gay or bisexual. It's like a whole new level, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think both parties, them and me, found it really beneficial. I did to kind of hear their points and hopefully they did for mine. But yeah, found that really interesting and useful. So I want to kind of wrap up now. Briefly, just tell us about Lift the Lid. So I did some research earlier, like into stuff you've done, and I saw that you've done this amazing campaign years ago, as you said earlier, called Lift the Lid, about mental health. Why don't you tell us about what you did and what it involved? And yeah, just a bit about it.
I started it with two of my friends, one called Jacob and one called Matthew. And all three of us, we've all had mental health struggles.
Okay.
What anxiety, depression, those kind of things. We've all had them. We've all experienced them. We are fully aware and understand the whole stigma that we've talked about in this. And we really wanted to make men, especially young men and any other men really, that it is okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
Like, it is okay to talk to someone. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel down. It's okay to let things hurt you. Because at the end of the day, it's life and these things happen. It's how you grow from them.
That is so true. That is so true. So with that campaign, was it social media? Like, what did you actually kind of, were you putting stuff out there? Or was it more kind of just like talking? Like, what stuff did you do within the campaign?
Majority of it was social media based.
Cool.
I did a lot of the graphics work, of course.
Yeah, I saw it. It's really good.
Yeah. And people can check that out on Instagram and that if they want to see that.
I was about to say, I'll include the link. So Zach has got design. Is it designed by Zach?
Designs by Zach, ZAK.
Yeah, so that's your Instagram. I will include all this on the notes just because there's some really kind of cool campaigns on there. And again, if you're looking for anybody, Zach is available.
Yeah.
That's the little plug. So was it quite, would you say it was a useful campaign? Did you get good feedback?
We got it spread across our unis because they go to Nottingham Uni.
Really? So it's spread across the country then, basically?
Two parts of the country. Yeah. It got in places, yeah. So
amazing.
The posters I did, they were put up Nottingham Uni. The posters I did, they got put around here as well.
That is really good, though. It's so important. So important, especially, I think, like we say, this is a totally different story for another day, but I think with students especially, university students, there's so much pressure on you with deadlines and all these different things, that the emotional side can take its toll massively.
It can.
So as we both know, I'm sure that was a very beneficial thing for anybody who came into contact with it.
Yeah, I can imagine, like, seeing the poster being stressed out a lad, because on the poster it would say, be a real man.
I saw, yeah.
Don't bottle it up.
And I saw all the emotions in the bottle, which I thought was really clever. Yeah. I like that. Because literally, I loved that. So guys, it's a bottle. In the bottle were all these words like upset, hurt, depressed, anxious, worried, nervous, all these emotions. And I got it, I thought, wait a minute, they're on the drawing, they're in the bottle. Oh, I get it, you're putting it in the, you're keeping it inside. So you're keeping all these things inside the bottle. You don't want to open the cap and let it free, because again, going back to stereotypes and whatnot, but we worry what will happen.
We're telling you, you should lift the lid.
Yes!
And you shouldn't bottle it up.
Real talk.
Yeah.
Ha. Huh. That is absolutely fantastic. Wow. I think that's a good place to wrap up, you know. Like, being a man in 2020 is a lot more liberating. You've got more freedom, and there's so much opportunity to be who you want to be. Like, as a final thought, what is being a man in 2020 to Zach Billingham? What is it?
Being a man in 2020 to me is to keep challenging yourself. Hard work pays off. Even if it seems like it isn't, it will in the end. This year, 2020, is a chance to, like, be the best version of you.
Oh, come on. That's fantastic. And guys, you know what it is to me, but Zach, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem,
Have you enjoyed it?
Of course I have.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. I've absolutely loved today's podcast. It's been amazing this month. Please, again, subscribe, like, review, share, whatever you want to do, and stay tuned for more. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to a new episode of A Slice of Life with me, Jack Walton. Please rate, share and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts or wherever else you get your episodes from. Don't forget to follow me on social media, I am Jack Walton, and also check out my new business page, Motivator Boy. Thank you so much to our podcast producer, Hassel Hack, to this month's guest, Zach Billingham, and to you, the viewer, for listening. See you next month.